Could we all please rise for the Right Honourable the Lord Mayor of Perth, Mr. Basil Zempa.
Thank you, everybody. Good evening, and lovely to see so many people here. Can I welcome you all to the annual general electors meeting of the City of Perth and formally declare the meeting open at exactly 5 p.m. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past and present. It's a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar land. And CEO, while we're all up, I'm going to ask you please to recite the prayer.
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to undertake its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated, everybody. Thank you. So, unfortunately, I've just been advised that the Council Flick, I look your way, and those others are big fans of the live stream, that the live stream, I'm just checking again with governance, that it's down.
It's down,
it's disappointing. I'm sure we'll have a way of communicating to the outside world the good happenings at our electors' general meeting. So our apologies will be passed on to those who are unaware that we're not able to go live today. Is there an audio transcript, though?
There will be.
Okay, so I'm just advised that we will try and fix it as we go along, although I notice members of the press in the gallery tonight, which is always exciting, and thank you for joining us in person. It's as though you were able to preempt that the live feed would be down, but the audio will be captured and will be made available, so that is good news, and thank you. So let's go through the elected members in attendance. They are the Deputy Lord Mayor, Clyde Bevan, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Catherine Leeser, Councillor Victor Coe, Councillor Raj Doshi, Councillor Bruce Reynolds and Councillor David Gonsalves. In addition, I welcome the Chief Executive Officer to my left and other officers in attendance all around. Most importantly, I'd like to welcome the City of Perth electors in attendance this afternoon slash this evening and other members of the public and media who are with us. This meeting is also being live streamed to the public if it gets fixed, otherwise the audio recording is available. I will just say before I move to my next order of business that we're delighted once again to be able to hold this important forum. And those who have attended previously, certainly my fellow councillors and admin, know of the great joy that we're able to share in our role in local government, where our ratepayers and stakeholders can walk in off the street and be a part of our process. We are thrilled that we are the tier of government that provides that opportunity. You cannot do it at state parliament, you cannot do it in federal parliament. But you can do it in local government, and long may that be the case. And so I'm very pleased to see so many people here tonight making the most of that opportunity. The order of business for this afternoon's meeting is contained within the published agenda available on the city's website, and there are, here's good news, hard copies available at the entrance to the chamber. So if you haven't got one, you can pop out and grab one. The agenda also details the procedure for this meeting, which I have determined as the presiding member, in accordance with Regulation 18 of the Local Government Administration Regulations of 1996. The purpose of this meeting is for City of Perth electors to firstly consider the City's 2022-23 annual report, which includes the financial statements and the auditor's report, and secondly, to consider any items of general business such as public questions and electors' motions. Council accepted the 2022-23 annual report and annual financial statements at its ordinary council meeting, which was held on the 12th of December 2023. This is my opportunity to speak briefly about the 12 months that our annual general meeting, our annual general electors meeting takes consideration of and over. And I do feel in many ways that I've had the opportunity to speak about this, given that in October last year with the council elections, there were many opportunities for those who were contesting, certainly from this council, to speak of the great achievements over the previous 12 months and certainly over the previous period. But I will take a moment to say that it has been a very exciting and productive year, 2022-23, remembering that this meeting takes in the period up to June 30. And our annual report stands as testament to what our dedicated team has achieved on behalf of our community. Through considered consultation and careful decision making, we worked very hard to deliver for the residents who call the city home, for the businesses and workers who collaborate and connect here, and for the visitors who come to our streets and explore and enjoy all that our magnificent City of Light has to offer. We also set the groundwork for a successful and prosperous 2023-2024. We're very pleased to have been able to deliver one of the lowest rate rises in the metropolitan area. And we made every cent of our $261.9 million budget count. We improved on our numerous business-as-usual services while also funding Capital City Works and a year-round events and sponsorship program which boosted vibrancy, showcased our unique cultural scene and brought people into the city across the seasons. We also retained a focus on sustainability initiatives, including and promoting and preserving our very precious trees and tree canopy. During the year, we held our inaugural Tree Month, where we facilitated the planting of more than 300 trees at multiple community events. And in 2023, we planted more than 1,000 trees, doubling the amount planted in previous years. We set ambitious targets to increase our tree canopy, and we are determined to meet those targets. This year saw businesses continue to prosper in Perth, with the city maintaining the highest occupancy of all states. So our office occupancy by far and away number one around Australia. And we also maintained our focus on strong governance and closed out nearly all actions in response to the recommendations of the inquiry, with only five actions remaining and nearing completion. The city has entered into a new era of excellence in performance as we reflect, refine, and I suppose renew the way we deliver on the community's aspirations to be one of the most livable, sustainable and prosperous cities in the world. And although our December and January periods are not captured in the 12 months that we deal with tonight, I think everybody is well aware of the record-breaking numbers that we delivered in the month of December. It is a sign of the great progress of our city and also the great number of development applications that have been processed by our team is a significant sign that the renewal of Perth is happening and happening now before our eyes. So, as you've heard, 2022-23, incredibly productive, effective and impactful 12 months in our city, and the future is looking even brighter for our City of Light. And so for the elected members who encompass that period, and certainly me as Lord Mayor, it has been our great privilege and pleasure to continue to serve our ratepayers. I'm now going to hand over to the CFO, Michael Kent, and ask Michael to speak to the city's financial achievements in the period 2022-23. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael Kent.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor, and good evening, everybody. If I may ask the governance team to... Oh, you've got the presentation up. Thank you very much. That is excellent. Okay, the 22-23 year has been a very successful year financially for the City of Perth. We've been fortunate to continue our repositioning of the capital city's finances to a point where we believe we have a very responsible and sustainable financial model and a way forward with a good financial blueprint. Next slide, please. So I'd just like to call out a few of the headline numbers from the 22-23 year. First of all, the operating revenue for the year, $210.2 million. That was in total 1.5% ahead of budget expectation, which was an excellent performance. We were very successful in not only meeting our targets for rates, but exceeding them significantly in terms of seeking grant funding, in terms of the performance of our investment portfolio that certainly outperformed exceptionally well. and that has set us up well in that regard. Of that operating revenue, there was $100.9 million in rates revenue, somewhat better than had been anticipated, with a couple of new buildings over in the EQ precinct coming online slightly earlier than we thought, but we're certainly happy to take advantage of that. Operating expenditures overall very close to the budget mark. There was some non-cash expenditure to do with disposal of assets, which pushed the operating expenses slightly over the budget total. But as I said, it's an accounting entry, not a cash entry. So on a cash performance, we're actually ahead of where we anticipated. The capital revenue, we achieved a target of $9.3 million. That was slightly less than we had anticipated, the reason for that being that there were some state government-funded initiatives which were subsequently deferred or withdrawn. So we actually achieved everything that was within our capacity to do there. And we delivered $41.5 million worth of capital works across the city, which is a very important investment in community infrastructure. Next slide, please. Graphically, you'll see here represented the financial performance of the city, the left-hand side being the funding sources. Primarily, you'll see if you look at the orange segment starting at 12 o'clock on that graph, that is the contribution from rates, and then the blue immediately below that being parking revenue. So they're, in effect, contributing something in excess of 70% of our total funding mix in this particular year. Both very, very important revenue streams, but we do continue to look for ways to diversify and ensure that we don't burden the ratepayers in that regard. On the right-hand graph, you'll notice the fund uses. Expenses, typically, obviously, you'll notice, again, starting the orange band at 12 o'clock, employee costs, materials from there. The rest of that graph runs down in the same sequence as the categories of expenditure there. So you'll notice probably the other number of significance there is depreciation. The city is responsible for a very large portfolio of community assets, and that depreciation figure in effect guides the amount of renewal expenditure which we should be providing to renew our assets. Next slide, please, if I may. This is a snapshot of the 22-23 year in terms of the operating expenditures, and I'll just call out a couple of these that are areas where council has made significant investment and continues to do so. Waste management and cleaning to keep the city highly presentable, that is a very significant expenditure there, but I think the results speak for themselves. Community safety, the city has increased its expenditure in that particular arena. Culture and events, well supported to the tune of $11.3 million, and sponsorship and grants, another $6.7 million. So you will see those particular areas of focus, along with the typical local government areas of parks maintenance and infrastructure maintenance, because that community infrastructure is vitally important. Next slide, please. This is just a very quick overview to give an illustration of the scale of the city's operations, and particularly its financial position. Overall, the city has $1.52 billion worth of net assets. That's our net investment in the community. Of that, $1.36 million is infrastructure and property. There was an increase in value of the city's infrastructure assets of $240 million in the last year. So that is, again, a very significant number. In terms of our capacity for liquidity, and in terms of financial liquidity, you'll see at the end of the year we were holding $210 million in cash and other assets, of which $143 million is actually cashback reserve funds, which is effectively they are saving plans for future major projects. There is a catalogue which actually describes all of the purposes for which those reserves will be used over the next 10 years, but it's a very important part of responsible and prudent financial planning. We're very proud of that position that we've been able to achieve. And so if we may move to the Next slide. Sorry, we have moved to the next slide. There are a number of key financial ratios that are used to effectively assess how well local governments are doing in their financial management. They're all represented on this table, and probably the most important thing to point out here is that every one of them has a green light next to them, meaning that the city has either achieved or exceeded the industry benchmark, which I think is an outstanding achievement for any local government. And the combination of those assets which deal with liquidity, which deal with asset management, debt ratios, etc., the combination of all that creates a number called a financial health indicator score that is calculated for every local government in Western Australia. A score of 70 is considered to be sound financial management. For the 22-23 year, the City of Perth achieved a financial indicator score of 93, which is an exceptional achievement. And I think it reflects the way that the council and the administration have been able to work very productively and collaboratively in terms of our financial management. So that's a great achievement. And the final slide, if we may, just a few highlights here. First of all, the 22-23 year, the city received an unqualified audit report. Building on that, there were no matters of non-compliance, nor even any improvement opportunities identified by the auditors or the Office of the Auditor General. That is a rarity. I have been involved in these processes now for 30 years. That is the very first time I've ever seen that. So that is an exceptional outcome. As a consequence of that, the city entered the 23-24 year in a very sound financial position. And as mentioned by the Lord Mayor in his opening remarks, the city was therefore able to deliver the lowest percentage increase of all metropolitan local governments. But what that indicates is that the strategic repositioning of the city's finances is continuing to be successful. We are set up for a sustainable financial future. Our models, service models, our assessment of project proposals, independent assessment of our rating methodology, which we undertake each year, and has found to be fully compliant with all best practice principles, all of those things have set us up, I think, for an excellent financial future. And I thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Michael. We thank you also. We thank you and your team and all of the administration led by our CEO to my left, Michelle Reynolds, for such a competent and thorough and excellent result over those 12 months. It's important to say as we finish hearing from Michael in that excellent presentation of our financial highlights that Council takes our sound financial management very, very seriously. And we do this for our ratepayers now and into the future. And I want to thank our team again for playing the significant role that they have in laying the groundwork for that very, very solid financial future. Thank you, Michael. We're now going to move to the acceptance by electors of the 2022-23 annual report, incorporating the financial statements into June 30, 2023. All electors who are present are entitled to a vote on at any matter to be decided at this meeting. However, voting is not compulsory, a little bit like local government elections. The same process will be followed when we move to general business. Electors are able to move and second motions, following which the motion will be put to a vote. You'll be asked to raise your hand to vote for or against a motion. However, voting, a bit like local government, is not compulsory. The city has prepared a motion for consideration by electors which reads as follows: that the 2022-23 annual report, inclusive of financial statements and auditor's report for the City of Perth, be accepted. Would somebody like to move this motion? Hello, Anna, and I'm very familiar with Anna, but would you please state your name for the minutes? Thank you, Anna. So Anna, an elector, has done that. And I'll now seek a seconder. John, I'm familiar with your work as well. Could you state your name, please?
John Morris.
Thank you, John. So seconded by John, and I'll now put that motion to a vote. If I could see a show of hands for the motion, including us, if you want to. You don't have to, non-compulsory. But you're all ratepayers. Otherwise, you couldn't be here. Thank you. I think that's carried unanimously. Show of hands against. Anyone against? No. So I will now declare the motion carried. General business. We now move to item 5, which is general business, where motions and questions raised by electors will be considered. We have not received any motions from electors, but we have received 5 electors who have raised 10 questions. So we're going to move to hear the public questions. And the first of those, I believe, is coming from Robert John tonight, who is a confirmed City of Perth elector. Is Robert with us? Robert, come on forward if you would. And we have already determined that Robert is a City of Perth elector. We have indeed. So Robert, if you would be so kind as to ask your question. If there's a button there to turn your microphone on, that would be appreciated. That's it.
Ah, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. My question is that the residents of the Avenue Crawley are unhappy with the traffic flow on the avenue between Hackett Drive and Broadway due to the excessive speed, loud vehicle noise, and some danger when vehicles pass due to street parking. We are not asking for street parking to be banned, but for the council to liaise with Nedlands Council with the object of reducing the speed limit on the avenue to 40 kilometres an hour. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. And your question is going to be answered by the General Manager of Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you, through you, Lord Mayor, and thank you for your question, Mr. John. So speed reduction ultimately needs the approval of Main Roads WA. We don't have the ability to make that decision on our own. We are actively engaging with them on this very issue. We are involving the City of Nedlands because it affects them too, and we're hoping to have an update that we will feed back to you by early March.
Thank you very much, General Manager. We're going to move now to a series of questions from John Morrison. So, John, if you'd like to come forward. And John has been verified.
Testing, yes, sorry.
That's good, yes. John is a confirmed City of Perth elector. John, all yours, please. First question.
Right, first of all, these questions come from Leslie Warren, the chairperson of the East Perth Community Group, and not myself.
Leslie not able to make it?
Leslie's
tonight?
Unfortunately in hospital.
Okay.
With a friend.
We share all the best.
We do. Question one, has the council and the City of Perth done a cost-benefit analysis of utilising the countback provisions under local government law to backfill vacancies prospectively caused by the Lord Mayor and councillors announcing their intention to contest state or federal government seats? How does the cost of appointing the next ranked candidates compare with that of having by-elections? What will be the cost to ratepayers of managing conflict of interest over the next 18 months or so, given that any public appearance or utterance of the Lord Mayor will be seen to be seeking to maximise his chances of being elected to the State Parliament?
Thank you, John. And thank you, Leslie, for your questions. So there's a number of questions that have run together, and we can run our responses together, and those questions are going to be answered by the Executive Director of Governance and Strategy. Executive Director.
Thank you very much, through the Lord Mayor. No, the City has not completed a cost-benefit analysis, as the backfill provisions of the Local Government Act are only applicable in the case that an elected member position becomes vacant within 12 months of their election. No elected member has advised of an intention to vacate their position within 12 months of their election. It should be noted that the introduction of optional preferential voting as part of the Local Government Amendment Act means that vacant positions can now be filled on the results of an election that has taken place within the previous 12 months. There are provisions, Schedule 4.14 and 4.1A and 4.1B of the Act provides for the filling of vacancies using backfilling provisions.
speak a bit more loudly and slowly because we're all trying to hear.
Certainly. It will be captured in the minutes. I'm happy to repeat my response.
No need. Sorry.
From here on in, we can take that on board, but I could certainly hear it from here. Leslie, it will be captured and you will be able to hear. Was there a problem at the front row, madam?
No, she is facing forward, not.
That's a very good point, but you would have hoped that the speakers might have assisted in the audio transmitting through the room. Councillor Goddard? Yeah, perhaps the microphone could come a little bit closer. That would be useful. Thank you. So if we can continue on. John, do you have another question? Is that right?
I've got two more.
Yes, please.
Okay, question two. Does the training referred to in the annual report on record-keeping practices extend to councillors, i.e. in relation to councillors correctly keeping, maintaining and, where applicable, disposing of official government records?
John, before we go to the answers for those, so my apologies, in moving on, the answer that we've heard thus far, this is good news for everybody because there were three questions in the first stanza. One of those has been answered. The second two will now be answered by the Executive Director. And, John, I'll get you to ask your question again in just a moment. So these are answers to questions two and three from John on behalf of Leslie. And, Peter, if you could get the microphone nice and close to your mouth, that would be great.
Okay, question three.
So, no, I think we're good now. We're going to get the answers. Yeah.
Thank you. So, in relation to question two, how does the cost of appointing the new ranked candidates compare with that of having by-elections? The ability to appoint the next ranked candidate would remove the need to hold an extraordinary election. An estimated cost to hold an extraordinary election for the City of Perth would be in the range of $100,000 to $130,000. If the circumstances were to change, the City would recommend that Council request that the Electoral Commissioner postpone the election required to fill the vacant position and consolidate it with the ordinary election already scheduled to be held in October 2025. And the final question, after 2 years' experience... Oh, sorry.
That's
not right.
No, go ahead.
No. I think it was, what will the cost to ratepayers of managing conflicts of interest over the next 18 months?
Yeah. That's the one?
So the response is that it's the responsibility of each elected member to ensure that they manage their conflicts of interest in accordance with the requirements of the role. This is governed by the Local Government Act 1995.
Fine. Okay, question three. After 2 years' experience with the Community Insurance Grant Scheme, it is noted that a convoluted process that is difficult for each neighbourhood group to access, especially the requirements for two quotes. Would it be more cost-effective for the City to take out an umbrella of overarching policy to cover insurance for all those City of Perth neighbourhood groups that have been well established?
Thank you. The response to this question, John, is going to come from the General Manager of Community Development. Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you, Mr. Morrison, for your question and through you, Lord Mayor. At the ordinary meeting on the 21st of December 2021, Council considered options for the establishment of a community group insurance program, and we can provide a direct link to the item that's still available on the website. For reasons outlined in the report, the reimbursement option was adopted by Council as the preferred method for supporting community groups who met the eligibility criteria. Council decided that community groups source at least two quotes, so value for money can be shown in the use of ratepayer funds. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. John, we appreciate you being here.
Lord Mayor, can I just clarify something that was given in that response? Because I was a bit confused in how the information was provided.
Yeah.
There was a quote given as to costs, but that is not what the City is incurring right now. That's an estimate, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So could you possibly correct for the record the response to the answer?
It said an estimated cost, did it not?
It did. However, the costs are determined by the Electoral Commission, so we've taken past costs and used that as the estimate for the response. Correct.
Mm. Yeah, estimated. Yes, thank you, Councillor Sladen. Thank you, John. Thank you, Leslie. We wish you all the very best. and thank you to the people providing the answers. We're now going to move to our next question, which is from Anna Elizabeth Vanderbom.
Anna Elizabeth Vanderbom, 10B Monash Avenue, Netherlands. Lord Mayor and councillors, thank you for the opportunity to speak. We value our engagement with the city. Our first question is, now that the Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis has chosen to become a political candidate, our residents are concerned about the likely change of focus, which could undermine the neutral role expected of a Lord Mayor. How can the Lord Mayor properly represent the city and its ratepayers over the coming year, given the major distraction of a political campaign, which will compromise his role and is likely to involve antagonism rather than cooperation with the state government, as well as fundraising, political advertising and campaigning to attract Churchlands voters?
Anna, thank you for the question. Firstly, I do not accept that it will compromise my role and that it is likely to involve antagonism. I'm not able to accept that. But also, I'm in the very fortunate position of having some very recent role models who have trod down this path that I am treading. I think of people such as Mayor John Carey, who was the Mayor of Vincent when he became the Labor candidate, when there was a Liberal government, and stayed in his role as the Mayor of Vincent until such time as the election was called. Also very recently, Mayor Brad Pettit of Fremantle. He was the Greens candidate contesting against a Labor government, and he too stayed in the role of Mayor of Fremantle until such time as the election was called. And very recently, at our last federal election, Mayor Tracy Roberts was the Labor candidate for the federal election, at the time a Liberal federal government. She was also, interestingly, the Walga president and the ALGA, Australian Local Government Association, vice president, yet managed to fulfil her commitments in all of these roles. It is, of course, mine and everybody else's democratic right to run for office. Indeed, it is something that we promote in our community. Unfortunately, I don't have the financial capabilities of resigning from all of my roles. If I did, well, perhaps I'd be setting an example for some other people to follow in that path and do it that way. But as Mayor John Carey did, as Mayor Brad Pettit did, and Mayor Tracy Roberts in recent times have done and indicated can work, they stayed as mayors and managed their responsibilities as best they could. And I'm very, very comfortable that I will be able to do the same. The last thing I'll say is I've made absolutely no secret over the 3.5 years that I have been the Lord Mayor of the City of Perth that my first obligation is for fierce advocacy on behalf of the City of Perth and its ratepayers. That was put to the test at our most recent election, and I was absolutely thrilled and delighted to be returned with double the vote that I recorded when first elected as Lord Mayor. I took that to mean that the ratepayers of the City of Perth were very pleased with my advocacy on their behalf. It will continue until the election in March of 2025, if, and it's a big if, I am successful in pre-selection. In 2 months, all of this could be over. If I'm successful, in March of 2025, I may or may not be elected. If I am not elected, I will continue on as Lord Mayor of the City of Perth, and it will be my great privilege and pleasure to do so. So, Anna, I thank you for the question, but I am very comfortable that I will be able to continue to fulfil my role as the Lord Mayor of the City of Perth and the Lord Mayor that our ratepayers have become accustomed to.
Thank you. The second question is a little bit of a repeat. How much will it cost the City of Perth and hence the ratepayers to stage a mayoral by-election if one needs to be held? I'm aware this question's already been answered.
Yeah, let's get the answer, I think, from the Executive Director of Governance and Strategy.
Thank you. Through the Lord Mayor. In this scenario, it is likely that Council, in order to avoid the cost to ratepayers of an extraordinary election and given the proximity of the ordinary election scheduled to be held within 7 months, would request that the Electoral Commissioner postpone the election required to fill the vacant position and consolidate it with the ordinary election already scheduled to be held in October 2025.
Thank you. And Lord Mayor, could I request James Williams has also submitted a question.
Yep, Anna, you had already done that. I've been told by the team up here that you had already made that request, and James has not been able to make it in the same way that Leslie was not able to make it. So, yes, please go ahead.
Thank you. Does James Williams, who is also a Netherlands resident, does the City of Perth envisage any changes to the City of Subiaco Town Planning Scheme No. 4 when incorporating it into the City of Perth's planning scheme? In particular, does the City of Perth envisage any changes to the current R code designations?
Thank you. And that question is going to be answered on James' behalf by the General Manager of Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Anna, for passing along Mr. Williams' question. So we won't be proposing any changes through the new local planning scheme that we're currently working on, because any changes to the current Subiaco scheme will be identified through the process of preparing the UWA QE2 precinct plan for the area. As you know, the City of Perth is working closely with the State Government's Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage and the City of Netherlands on preparing that plan. That plan is required by the Western Australian Planning Commission, who have identified the area as a specialist centre. And specialist centres focus on regionally significant economic and institutional activities such as knowledge-based health and tertiary education precincts. The precinct plan will be the mechanism whereby we identify the appropriate land uses and the development intensity of the land, and that will include the appropriate residential densities and design guidelines for the precinct. There will be community engagement as part of preparation of the precinct plan, and as soon as we have a draft that has been prepared, we will be releasing it for community comment.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Anna, and we appreciate you being here and all of the work that you do with the Western City of Perth Western Residents Group for and in our community. And ditto, of course, for the East Perth Community Group, who are well represented here tonight also. John, please pass on our thanks. There's one final question, I understand, from David Lim. Is David with us? Hello, David. David, come forward if you will. David, you are confirmed as a City of Perth elector, so if I could ask you to ask your question, please.
I realise this might be another repeat question, but would the City consider exploring the possibility of streamlining the process and saving costs by taking out blanket public liability insurance to cover the needs of all of its neighbourhood groups?
Good on you, David. Thank you. And that question is going to be answered by the General Manager of Community Development. Hello.
Thank you, Mr. Lim, for your question, and through you, Lord Mayor. So, as stated previously, the ordinary meeting on the 21st of December 2021, the options were considered for establishment of a community group insurance program, and we can provide that direct link for you for the report that's still on the website. Administering insurance on behalf of neighbourhood groups was not recommended for a range of reasons outlined in the report, and the chosen model was city-funded through reimbursement of eligible costs rather than the city determining and providing insurance. This enables groups to assess their own insurance coverage needs and administer claims directly. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, David, and thank you very much, General Manager. I think that is all of the questions that we had recorded to be asked. There were a number of questions about the state elections. I'll just take this opportunity to remind people, which I have been reminded, thank you, CEO, that on our City of Perth website, except there is a degree of interest, and I'm very pleased that there is. On our City of Perth website, under the Council tab, saying this slowly for the journos in the room who I know will be keen on this information. So City of Perth, and then Council, under Transparency and Accountability. Lovely heading that is. I'll repeat that. Transparency and Accountability. Under that is a tab that says State Election. And there are a number of questions that are answered, and also a positioning statement from the City of Perth. So all of that information in a very transparent fashion is available on our website. And I do urge anyone who has any further questions to take the opportunity to look at that. Thank you to all of our electors who stepped forward to ask questions tonight. As I said, it's wonderful that we are able to do that. We don't have any motions tonight, do we? So we continue on to our very final item, which is to thank everybody for being involved. Thank you for being here. Again, on behalf of all of our elected members, thank you to our community for being involved in this process. And accordingly, at the time of 5:41 p.m. with no further business, I will declare the annual general meeting of electors closed for 2024. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, all rise. Is that happening?
No, all rise now. But can we all please rise to the Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis? Thank you all very much.